So why does our nervous system trigger so quickly these emotions, these powerful feelings, when in the end we only feel exhausted or maybe embarrassed because we were so sensitive? Well, the reason is that the emotions are protectors. They are the signals that alert us of something not being okay. That's why they are so strong. Whether it's anger, anxiety, sadness, shame, guilt, you feel those feelings. They are undeniable. And then they are also the fuel for us to take action, to fight, flight, freeze, please, in order to end up being safe. People that are on the emotional roller coaster often are very sensitive people, and they needed to be sensitive. They needed to have a radar system that was scanning the room, knowing what's going on, even if no word was uttered. Could be the facial expression of the father, the body language of the sibling. It could be the tone of voice of the mother. It could be simply an energy in the room that just felt off and not safe. And depending on what the nervous system took in, the emotion came up, and then there was time to take action. When we don't really feel like anyone held our back, anyone was there to protect us, when we felt that everything was unstable and we are the only ones who can really keep ourselves safe, the nervous system takes over and goes into survival mode. And in some ways, you could say the emotional roller coaster is a part of that survival system. And it's very effective. But unfortunately, in many ways, it also is outdated. Because just like there was no adult really helping you to feel safe, there is now also no one that makes this emotion calm down. There's no one who gives it a landing pad, a buffer to not get so out of control. And that is a very important point, because this is ultimately the solution to get off the emotional roller coaster, to see that the emotions are not wrong. They are trying their best. They are not anything that we have to ignore or delete or suppress, but we have to make sure that the emotions know that there is a way to come down and to find a way to let go. And that's what I will teach you in a moment. But let's talk first about these different filters, these different emotions that are then creating a different response and certainly also a different interpretation of the reality. So let's say, for example, you have anger. Anger is what rises in you very quickly as soon as, you know, maybe someone disrespects you, or as soon as things are not going exactly the way you want to, or whatever it is. You can ask yourself, what is that specific value that I really hold dear to my heart that someone or some situation is not honoring? And that is something that then feels automatically not trustworthy, or it feels unsafe, because someone who doesn't share your values is not someone that you can rely on. And so the anger comes up because you feel like you have to take control, because this person who seems to be different or seems to not really honor or respect you and respect the things that are important to you needs to be put in their place or needs to be pushed away. So the anger is a response to regaining control when things seem to get out of control or you are afraid of becoming powerless. And often anger is something that was modeled to us. You know, the strong person in the house, the one that always exploded into a rage, that was seen as the greatest danger, but also as the most powerful one. And so if we want to feel more powerful and we want to feel more dominant in control, we go to that playbook of that person that we have been modeling after. So anger means taking charge, having a boundary, speaking up, and ultimately feeling in control, and sometimes also feeling that it's safer to be on your own than leaning on others. And then there is, of course, the anxiety. The anxiety is a big distortion filter where everything is seen as a potential threat and danger. And the interpretation is always that something is against you. And the response usually to this anxiety is to freeze or to run away. Rarely it is about fighting. And so when you have the anxiety as a response, you probably were someone who, when things early on in your life went sour and there was maybe chaos or fighting, you removed yourself. You felt it was better to get out of the situation than being in the midst of it. And then there is a sadness, and the sadness is a filter that basically says, give up, don't have your hopes up, don't have any expectations, don't really look forward to something, it's never going to work out. So that is a protection also to not get disappointed, to not get hurt, to not get too attached. And that is often happening when we have been in situations where maybe there was a little bit of something we looked forward to, or we were hoping that maybe a parent would show up for the recital and it didn't happen. And so that sadness is simply this dark cloud that just doesn't allow us to really, you know, find enjoyment in the possibility, because the reality will anyhow be only painful and dim. And so it's better to already be prepared for that, expect the worst before you really get, you know, disappointed and hurt. And then there is guilt. Guilt is an interesting one when you're feeling very quickly guilty. Maybe you had anger first and then you feel guilty because you think about the person that you may have yelled at or pushed away. So the guilt is that intention ultimately to not have anyone get angry at us, or to make sure that people are pleased with us so that we feel safer. So when you're dealing often with guilt, you probably learned that you cannot really go through life on your own. You need others, their support, their protection, and you want to avoid them being against you. So you take on the ownership and the responsibility for anything that is going wrong. You even take responsibility for their emotions, and your intention is to never hurt or disappoint or let someone down. And if you feel that they are unhappy, you wonder what you have done to make them unhappy or what you need to do to improve their moods. So that is the guilt filter that can be easily triggered, again, as a way to protect you. And the shame is ultimately the I shouldn't exist filter. It's like the, I want to get away from here because I don't have a place here. I don't belong here. I'm not wanted here. And the best way for me to somehow exist is to be invisible. So shame is a really, really strong energy of self-denial and contraction. And it often gets triggered when we feel small and powerless and not able to change a situation or influence others, and just automatically says, I am wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. I am just wrong as who I am. And so let's just curl up in a baby pose and try to not really make any waves or not getting noticed. So you see, when you're looking back now, whatever is the trigger and whatever is your response says a lot about how your nervous system interprets a situation, how it sees you in the situation, how it evaluates the options you have to deal with the situation. And then also it says, okay, so according to this emotion, this is the best plan of action: to either push or to be on alert and run away, to be in a place where you are pleasing others, or where you are abandoning all hope, or where you become invisible. And I think that really helps to see that the emotions are not telling the truth. Emotions are certainly undeniable. They cannot be ignored, but they shouldn't be seen as the truth tellers. They shouldn't be seen as the ones that are the interpreter that we need to listen to when it comes to our life or to the relationships with others or even to the relationship with ourselves. And that is so important because I think often when we are emotional, we feel there is something wrong with us and we feel that we should be less emotional and we should just rely on our head and suppress those emotions. And I think that's completely wrong because the emotions have been developed into a fine-tuned system that we have been heavily relying on for many years, and it still can serve us well. It just needs to find a way to have someone who, let's say, is that calm overseer that can say, yeah, I can see that you are triggered. I can see the emotion rising. Let's just find a way to let that emotion come down, tune it down, find a way to land. It doesn't have to fly off the handle. And that is the role of you. That is the role of the conscious person who can observe but doesn't necessarily have to buy into the interpretation and doesn't have to go into action simply because that is what the emotion used to do, to get us to react to it. We can respond, but we don't have to react.